Well, Rick, the last time we caught up, we were sitting in a table inside, and you were showing us some drawings of what you hoped it was going to look like, and now here we are almost 2 years later, and it's done, or more or less done anyway, and the golf course is ready to open. I'm sure it was a lot of hard work, but it's always good to see a finished product.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to see the a vision come to fruition and the teamwork that went into it from, you know, the park district and the board involvement through the whole planning process, the design, then the implementation from a construction standpoint, then the park district's maintenance crew to grow it in and get it to the point where it's open for play. And that's the most personally gratifying, when you can see the golfers out there enjoying the what was created and, you know, the vision come to reality.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, how much did it turn out like you hoped it was going to turn out when you first started?
Yeah, so one of the main focuses was, you know, the greens. There were issues with drainage, which was causing agronomic problems after rain events. So to improve the surface drainage, create strategic pin placements that will really provide a lot of flexibility in the way the golf course plays and can be set up. That was a really beneficial element of the master plan and the practice facility, both the practice range and then the short game practice area, putting green. There's a lot of really nice amenities in addition to the golf for, you know, beginning golfers to learn the game and really get introduced to, you know, some of the details that are involved in the short game practice and things like that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of renovation projects come down to tees, trees, greens, and bunkers more often than not. Just maybe re-strategically putting in bunkers, adding yardage, taking out some trees. Take us through those aspects of the project and what you did.
Yeah, so the entire golf course was regrassed. The tees, the fairways, the greens were rebuilt, as I mentioned. So it's really going to provide a really high-quality playing surface for the golfers. Added some forward tees, realigned tees. So, you know, if the golfers play from the appropriate location that matches the quality of their game, their handicaps, then they can have a more enjoyable round of golf. Too many golfers want to play from the tips, and their games don't reflect that level of golf. So I think if they just play from the appropriate tees, they'll have a lot more fun on the golf course. As far as, you know, the trees, we remove trees that to provide more positive agronomic growing conditions on the golf course. So, again, it's all related to the turf and the playing surface that the golfers will experience.
How much would you say you added some yardage? I know in the first hole you had that opportunity on the par five there with the clubhouse being moved to a new location.
Right. That was, you know, to lengthen the hole, it gave it a little bit more of a three-shot hole into the green. So we're trying to get the golfers out on the golf course and some separation so that the pace of play can be maintained and established right from the first hole. So, yeah, that was one of the areas that had the opportunity to lengthen the golf course.
Mm-hmm. Would you say it's longer by 150, 200 yards, something like that? And do you have a, not necessarily an exact number, but a general sort of a tree count of removal to open some things up here?
From a yardage standpoint, I don't recall what the final additional yardage is. And, you know, sometimes people get too focused on yardage on a golf hole, and you've got to look at the strategy of the hole, the size of the green for the approach shot, the contouring in the green. You know, there's a lot of different defenses that a golf course can have other than yardage. So, you know, when you're on a golf course that was established in the 1920s, sometimes you're landlocked as to where you can extend golf holes. So there wasn't a lot of space to do that in this particular case. So we did it where we could, and then added forward tees to really provide flexibility and elasticity in the length that the golf course can play. Tree count, we followed the guidelines of the Northbrook Park District, their forestry requirements with the trees that were removed and had to be replaced. So we just worked through that process with the village to make sure that we were conforming with the requirements.
Mm-hmm. A lot of renovations now. They're upgrading the sand in the bunkers. Some of them are switching from the older brownish sand to the white sand. How much of a sand change is there in the bunkers out here? And did the bunker count go up or down?
Yeah, there wasn't any bunker work included in the scope of work here. So some of the bunkers were refreshed with sand, and some of them had drainage issues that were resolved, but it was not a complete bunker restoration project. It was more focused on the greens, the putting surfaces, and then the regrassing program.
Is what you've done so far part of a long-term master plan where you might come back, every year or two and still continue to make course improvements as the park district and you see them?
Well, the majority of the master plan was implemented. You know, when you have a shutdown and you're building a new clubhouse, you implement as much as possible. You know, there are always things that are more long-term that are on a plan that can be implemented over time, and there's always constantly drainage items that are added year after year as the drainage patterns change over time, and you know, you have to resolve those so that you can get back out on the golf course after storm events.
Mm-hmm. So I understand that you and Greg Barron here already went out and set the course record already. You two guys haven't.
No, I haven't had a chance to play yet, but I'm sure Greg has had a nice opportunity to give it a test run.
Well, I'm sure by now, when you're shut down this long, everybody's anxious to get out and play. Hey, Rick, I know that part of the master plan is continuing to kick in up at Kemper Lakes. You took that club through a couple of year or maybe even 3 year renovation a few years ago. You may be adding some tees and another 200 and some yards this fall. Tell us about the work that's continuing at Kemper Lakes.
Yeah, so you had mentioned a long-range master plan, and that's what we had at Kemper Lakes, and we implemented a good portion of it, you know, over a several-year period. There were items that were not implemented, and those are the ones that we're tending to now. There are both tees that lengthen the golf course, and we're adding some forward tees as well. Again, you know, when you've got a membership and a broad range of golfer levels, you want to not just lengthen it for the low handicappers, but you want to provide some advantageous elements for the higher handicap golfers. And I think it reaches a broader spectrum of golfers by, again, providing that multiple tee system. And in the bunkers, we're calling those tournament bunkers because a lot of them are bunkers that are put in positions that typically wouldn't come into play as much for the average member golfer, but for the lower handicappers in tournament play, there'll be a nice visual component for every golfer. But you know, we really want to make it strategic from the standpoint of the lower handicap tournament play type golfers.
Do you know how many holes off the top of your head where you put in new tee boxes? Is that on five holes, six holes, more than that, maybe less?
It's probably closer to seven, eight, nine holes with new tees, and probably six or eight holes with bunkering.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of people still obviously remember the great 1989 championship, memories of Payne Stewart, hugging the Wanamaker up there. From the work you've done and from what you see of the golf course now, obviously the club would have to want it, but is it championship caliber where, you know, one of the tours, and you know, I know the KPMG was there a couple years ago, but could you see Kemper Lakes hosting another major championship for the top professionals, be it men or women?
Absolutely. I mean, they've got the facility in place and the golf course, and with these additional tees and bunkering, it's just going to elevate it even that much more. I mean, it's ready now. That is going to put it over the top, and I don't see how they could deny a tournament out there with what they're going to see. So, yeah, I think the future, you know, if they want to host a tournament, I think that facility will be more than sufficient to do that and, you know, challenge the best golfers in the world.
Mm-hmm. Would you say there's one hole where you made the biggest change out there, whether it's just how far the tee went back or something around the green where, you know, some hole maybe got beefed up a little bit that'll play as a little more of a challenge for the golfers that play it?
Let's see. The fourth hole is just a dramatic, the bunkering that was added, the strategic risk reward element that's out there is kind of a classic design, and I think that'll be a fun hole, and we're adding some bunkering there that will make it even that much more fun and challenging for tournament play.
The par 5 fourth hole, which
there's a lake on the right, and there's alternative landing points is, you know, depending on how much you want to carry the lake and the angle you're playing. And it's a real dramatic, it's a beautiful golf hole.
Yeah, I imagine that in some tournaments, depending, they could turn the par 5 into a par 4 for professional players. And maybe what you did here would make a real risk reward if guys, you know, are trying to get home in two on that hole, providing it's, you know, it becomes a par 4.
Yeah, absolutely. We've looked at the golf course and actually talked about that possibility. You know, we'll see how that pans out, but we did that at Des Moines Golf and Country Club for the 99 U.S. Senior Open and turned a par 5 into a par 4. And you have to have the right type of green to accept the shots that are coming in there. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that come into play and looking at the landing area. And but, yeah, there's flexibility out there to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Is there for a while, people have always talked about doing something with the 11th green. It's kind of narrow behind that pond that runs in front of it. There's been talk of reshaping and maybe doing some things with 11. Did you do anything on the 11th hole there?
Well, we're looking at a new tee there that would lengthen the hole. So, you know, that's kind of a tough shot, you know, and with the position of this new tee, the trees on the right are going to create more of a dogleg. So there will be some, you know, some thought processes to go through for the golfers. You know, they want to hit something a little bit shorter and land on the top of the ridge, or do they want to grip it and rip it and try to drive it as far as they can and have a shorter approach? So I think that'll add some variety in the way that that hole might play moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Any changes in the gauntlet?
it's still there. Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch the women out there play the course, and I mean there's some excellent, the level of play these days is unbelievable, how they can attack some of these holes that you think are just going to eat them alive, and all of a sudden they're sticking it close to the pin, and you thought, you know, some areas were going to be really challenging, and they just take it on, and it's unbelievable the talent today in the golfing world.